take us through your songwriting process. What makes a song good to you?
You know, it can start one of two ways. A lot of times I'll write lyrics down, you know, something you usually want to get out or get out of your system. And, you know, you start with a guitar part. Or a lot of times you start with by playing something you like, you know, playing somebody else's song, and you kind of somehow kind of lead you off that, you know. That, I guess that's one of the two of the three ways that I come up with something. And, you know, and if I really, it's usually something to where, like, if I really like, you know, like once I show it to the guys or you know, come up with something like that, and then if it's something you really enjoy playing, you know, it kind of gets your blood boiling a little bit, then I know it's good. I mean, or at least I know it's good enough for me, and I don't know if it's good enough for everybody else, but, you know, I think it goes, but, yeah, so usually it's lyrics, you know, kind of hammered into the structure of the melody, and never the other way around, because, you know, if you try to write lyrics first, you know, you're setting yourself up for heartbreak, because it's so hard to, you know, to make the song itself adapt to the lyrics, and, you know, instead of vice versa. So, that answer your question, kind of?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, your voice, man, it sounds like it was made to tell a story. You know, you have, like, that balladeer kind of, like, Cat Stevens meets Edwin McCain thing going on. You know, who did you listen to growing up? How do you think it affected you as a singer?
Man, I listened to... Thank you, by the way. I listened to a lot of old country music is what I listened to first, because that's what my dad kind of forced on me, being from Texas and all. A lot of Merle Haggard and Hank Sr. and George Jones, stuff like that, which, you know, I really hated all that kind of stuff at first, but, you know, now I've gotten more mature, I realize that that's some of the best stuff ever written. But as far as, like, rock bands, you know, the usual, like, Led Zeppelin, I think, was, like, the first thing that I was, like, really understood, like, just how, like, these guys come together and make a sound. And as far as, like, singing and like the storytelling element goes, man, the Flaming Lips were a band that I really kind of caught on to, that I just really like what his whole vision is for, you know, the way he can be, like, deadly serious, but at the same time completely, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, just totally ridiculous. But, you know, he can kind of turn on a dime like that, and I've always kind of liked that about that approach. I mean, it's not so much in what we do, but I would aspire to kind of be like that, to where you can mix the, just the, you know, like the Soft Bulletin record, or like the Classic Metallic record, which there's so many serious moments on those records, and then, you know, you turn around and it's just, it's just kind of letting his freak flag go, and I've always liked that about those guys. I listened to a lot of, you know, the early U2 stuff, which is such a great, his voice is just such a great sonic instrument. Obviously the lyrics were kind of terrible, but just the timbre of his voice is kind of perfect. You know, what they've turned into now is pretty terrible, but anyway, so.
Okay, Tommy Shaw from Styx once said that rock music is at the heart of the voice of every generation. How do you feel about music in general? Do you feel something similar, or what gets you going about music?
I don't know if that's so much true anymore. I see, like, kids care less and less about it. I mean, I know that it's still out there, and but I don't, like... I just haven't seen someone come and turn it on its ear, like, you know, like Nirvana did. It was kind of, to me, like the last band that I saw that I can remember that you know, they kind of revolutionized things. I think, I don't know if that's over. I mean, you know, there's so many, you know, indie bands or, you know, bands that are around for 6 weeks, and then as far as, like, someone that, like, inspires a generation, I think that's over, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Tell us about Calhoun's newest album, Heavy Sugar. How is it different from the other two you guys have released?
Last record was very, very much a band record, and we did a lot of touring, and Jordan and I, he's kind of the last original member from what we started, but we toured extensively and, you know, kind of got nowhere like a lot of bands do, and you know, just kind of burnt, tired, yada yada, and, but that was definitely a band record, and a lot of songs that kind of meandered, and a lot of songs that, you know, didn't really resolve or finish. And I think that he and I just wanted to get back to, like, when we decided to do another record, we just decided to, like, write it in his apartment and demo it. Just, you know, two guys, guitars, and just tried to, we just tried to make it as simple as possible. I know that that's not a lot of people's thing, but just get down to, like, verse, chorus again. And that was a real big influence for us on this record, was just trying to make the exact opposite of the last. And I'll send it to you and you can hear it. It's a lot different, just in the simplicity of this versus the last.
Okay, what's the story behind Heart of Junk? It's such a beautiful song. I mean, it feels like a combination of, like, Keane and Matchbox 20, but it's so much more than that. I mean, how did it all come together?
That song is like my offering at the foot of the god of music, and how it basically destroyed my life and left me a sweet shell of a man. And that's what that song is about. It's just still trying to find love just for music itself. You know, when you do this a while, and you know, and you record so much, and you tour, and you know, just all the crap that comes along with it. You lose a lot of the love that you had for it when you started, and just trying to be a fan again. You know, just wanting to that LCD Sound System record, the last one that they put out, that record for me is, it kind of reinvigorated me, and I owe that to the guy that produced our record. He sent that to me, and I'd never really given them a chance, because I just, but that's what that song is about. It's just, you know, kind of making peace with the fact that I'm never going to love music again, but, you know, I still kind of do.
Speaking of your producer, Jim Barber, I mean, he's worked with acts such as, you know, Hole and Ryan Adams. How did he affect your album, aside from, you know, sending you that album?
Man, he was an A&R guy for Geffen for many years too, and so that was just totally invaluable to us, because, you know, a lot of bands, you know, I think that's why it's kind of in the state where, you know, there's so much bad music out there, is because there's no one really, you know, out there to tell you when you're making a record, you know, that song is horrible, or this, you know, this needs work, or, you know, you need to do something here, you know, I'm not getting it. Just having that set of ears. So him kind of, you know, Jordan and I had written 25, 30 songs, and we sent them, when we, you know, all met and agreed to do it together, we sent him those songs, and just having him, you know, before we even came out of the gate, like, went into the studio, just to have somebody, you know, helping you, and you know, an honest outside opinion, I mean, I think that is just, it's what's missing today, is, you know, people, yeah, bands just record every song they write, put it on a record, and that's why, you know, you like one song. I mean, I know the album concept is kind of dying too, but as far as that goes, he was, you know, he just got us to, you know, 12 or 13 good songs, or I'd say 15 songs, and then we still cut three or four. But and him in the studio, he was, you know, pretty hands off. He would be in there with you, and he would be listening. And more often than not, he would just tell you when something was really wrong, which was. So I knew a lot of times that if Jim was just sitting there, that things were going good. And when he was most vocal, I think, is when he was like, "You really need to fix this," which, you know, to me is super important.
Okay, we've discussed a little bit of what your journey has been like, where you discussed Heart of Junk, but I mean, considering the fact that many people are just starting to really get into you guys, especially with, you know, Knife Fight being featured on One Tree Hill, but you know, you guys have been around for more than a couple of years. What has that journey been like for you?
Man, it's well, I've drank a lot, and I've restrung my guitar a lot, and I've ridden in a van a lot. No, I mean, it's doing this is like, it is truly the, you know, the highest highs and the lowest lows. I mean, it can be so low. But yeah, it's just something, I guess, like, if you have to do it, you have to do it. And, you know, I'm lucky to work with people like that, to where, you know, the guys that I play with now, they're all a bunch of guys that are they're just always going to do this forever. And if that's driving you, then you know, you're all in it together, and this is what you're here to do. And if something happens to where you get to the next level, great. And if not, then you go back and try something else to where, you know, you can hopefully do that. So, you know, you just always, you know, it's all relative, and you're never satisfied, and that's all part of, I guess, everything. But that's definitely the, as far as this goes, and you watch the, you know, the pie gets smaller too, so that's all part of it. But yeah.
Okay, so what do you want people to get from your band's music? If someone came over to you after a show or after listening to your album and they said exactly what you would want them to say, what do you think it would be, and why?
Oh, that's a good question. I would think I would just want them to hear that hopefully that they could tell that we weren't necessarily trying to follow any trend, that we were doing something that we wanted to do, and that they understood that, and that it struck them between the eyes as such, and you know, that they could get the sincerity out of it, and that you know, we're sincerely trying to make records for other people to enjoy, you know, as well as ourselves.